The 2006 International AIDS Conference, Time to Deliver, brought to you by KaiserNetwork.org.
Thank you for being with us. At the last conference in Bangkok, World Health Organization officials were still talking fairly optimistically that they would meet the goals of the 3x5 initiative. We know that didn't happen. With some distance from the end of 2005, how do you now look at that program and see what went wrong, things that went right? How do you analyze it today?
3x5 didn't meet the numeric target of 3 million. That's true. It reached about 1.3 million by the end of 2005. And that in itself obviously was regrettable because of the numbers of people that didn't access therapy. But it had a major effect on the landscape around HIV/AIDS treatment internationally. It really taught very many lessons, and I think changed how we view treatment access in the developed world, and it laid the foundation really for what people are talking about today, which is trying to get as close as possible to universal access to prevention, treatment, and care.
When you say it changed the view, in what way?
In a number of ways. Firstly, it endorsed the technical approach that WHO recommended of a public health approach, a decentralized approach, an approach based on simplifying and standardizing what is fairly complicated, the treatment of HIV infection, but doing all of that in such a way that access could be greatly broadened. It also, I think, gave us insight, very useful insight, into what some of the real problems are. For example, the fragility and the frailty of the health systems and the infrastructure in the most heavily affected countries, which I think is very useful for informing donors and governments and the world at large about the real problems that need to be addressed. And finally, I think 3x5 gave insight into what to do of great relevance to other diseases as well.
In what way?
For example, if we think about tuberculosis or malaria, I think there are lessons from 3x5 about these things I've mentioned, the public health approach, the fact that actually 3x5 helped change the landscape in a way that it legitimized, if you will, the aspiration of anybody, anywhere, no matter where, no matter how poor, that it shouldn't be considered abnormal to expect or to want access to life-saving therapy.
What was the downside, though, of not reaching the goal? Did it affect the credibility of WHO?
Well, I think in the eyes of some, it may have done, but we're fairly persuaded that while we regret that the target wasn't reached, we think that the positives outweighed the negatives.
When do you think the target will be reached of 3 million?
One of the things we learned from 3x5.
Not to set a date.
Well, not set a date and a number at the same time. But the number will be reached. It will be reached. And I think what has been achieved by all of the partners involved with scaling up, which, and I think they must be credited, it's the Global Fund, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, bilateral donors, the pharmaceutical industry with its contributions, and others. I think they should be congratulated for the scale-up that has happened, which is pretty remarkable. If you look at Africa, in 2003, there was probably less than 100,000 people on therapy. By the end of 2005, it was 8 times that number. That's in just a couple of years.
How do you expect the new one-a-day pill to affect people's access to this medication?
Well, I think that simplifying the delivery of treatment, including making the regimens easier and the formulations easier, is very important, both for making it easier to access large numbers of people and making adherence by patients themselves easier and therefore more likely. So it's tremendously important.
But do you expect the one-a-day pill to show up in the low and middle income countries, or will there still be issues of cost?
Oh, there's still many issues around cost. The I think we've made great progress in some of these areas. The cost of first-line regimens, generic regimens, that are delivered to patients when they initiate therapy, some of them are now down to less than $200 per patient per year. But second-line regimens remain expensive everywhere. Pediatric formulations are expensive and not ideal in that they're difficult to take. Diagnostics remain very expensive. And in many middle-income countries, even the first-line regimens are not available at this reduced cost. So the issue of cost and the issue of using the flexibilities under the TRIPS agreement and so on, these remain important issues to address, and they're unresolved problems out there.
Let's talk about the conference for another moment. And you're speaking on Wednesday. I know that you can't tell us what you're going to say, but if you can give us a kind of broad outline of what your approach will be.
Yes. Well, the title of my presentation is From 3x5 to Universal Access. So I'll be giving a review based on WHO's information of where we stand with global access to therapy right now and what some of the outcomes are. And I'll be also reviewing what WHO thinks the contribution of the health sector should be towards working for universal access. Let me just add that WHO thinks there are five strategic priorities that we should be focusing on and with partners in the health sector. And these five are the following. One, we must expand HIV testing and counseling. More people need to know their serous status, including in healthcare settings. Secondly, we need to do much better with prevention. Third, we need to continue treatment scale-up, especially for populations that have been underserved. Fourthly, we need to work towards strengthening health systems. And fifth, we need the right kind of strategic information, data, epidemiology, to both guide and evaluate all of this. It's a large order, but if we pull together, I think we can make a difference.
I know that you have spoken before about your frustration that AIDS is treated differently. Will that be incorporated into what you bring to the conference this week?
Well, to a degree. AIDS is different in many ways. Otherwise, we wouldn't have these huge conferences. They wouldn't be necessary. So it is different in some ways. But I think the treatment scale-up that has occurred and that must continue obviously requires us to treat HIV more like some other problems like tuberculosis if we are to scale up rapidly while at the same time very importantly protecting people's rights and protecting them from stigma and discrimination.
Finally, Doctor, what would you define as success at this conference?
These conferences are an opportunity to re-examine, to discuss, debate, and hopefully seek consensus about some of the difficult issues and trends. Firstly, I hope there'll be a vigorous discussion about universal access, what it means, that it means something, it's not just an aspiration that we can work towards, and the funding requirements associated with that. So I think the discussion is important to international governments, donor agencies, and so on, and I hope there'll be commitment from those groups. Secondly, I think where we are right now in the epidemic, I think we need to get prevention back onto the table at the center of our AIDS response in addition to treatment scale-up. So I hope there'll be vigorous discussion and a meeting of minds about the sorts of prevention needs we have and some of the newer technologies in prevention. From the WHO perspective, I hope that the discussions about HIV testing will be useful, and again that there will be progress towards implementing particularly provider-initiated testing and counseling in resource-poor settings. Because if people don't get tested, then some prevention modalities are impossible, and of course access to therapy is impossible. So this is extremely important. And finally, I hope that the five strategic priorities that I've outlined as WHO's guidance to the health sector, I hope that these will be taken on board and endorsed. So I think this actually is for WHO, an important conference, and I think at this moment in the epidemic, an important one as well.
If they are endorsed, how does that translate to action outside of this conference hall? I'm talking, I guess, about accountability after the conference ends?
Well, I think what it means is trying to get people who are involved with global policy, people at regional level, and people at country level in different health sector organizations to agree around defined roadmaps. You know, we'd like to see policy around HIV testing actually leading to implementation. We'd like to see prevention scaled up. For one example is we've done badly with the prevention of mother-to-child transmission, and yet this was one of the areas where antiretroviral drug research first focused on. We'd like to do better with treatment scale-up, particularly for neglected populations. And the two specifically to mention are children and injecting drug users who've really not done as well as other sectors of the population. So there's a number of areas we can agree on where we really need action to move forward.
Dr. Kevin DeCock of the World Health Organization, thank you very much.
Thank you.